Well, happy Mother's Day. It is so good to see you today, and we welcome you today. Glad you're here. I hope you'll say an encouraging word to each of these who blessed us today with this dance. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the children, and the adults, they're here. A lot of practice and a lot of guts to get up in front of a group like this. And do that, and we bless them. They bless us with what they do. Glad to have the Stricklands back with us after their journey abroad. Y'all went to another country, right? And today a reminder for you. If you're going to come and help us out on our work day next Saturday, put that on your card today so we can kind of be looking over what kind of workforce we're going to have and so we can get people parceled out on different jobs. And bring some of your tools with you when you come. Now, like, yes, that shovel part was a part that when I did electrical work, that's the only tool I ever got to use. And my dad spiced it up a little bit, and he called it a canal wrench. You open up canals with it, yeah. And took me a while to catch on to that. But we can sure use your help on Saturday. We have a lot to do. And I'll send you an email reminder about this, but we have different people have different needs in our church. Right now we have somebody that needs a washer and dryer, if you know where one is. You got one? All right. Okay, well, good. I'll see you afterwards. Got the person this is going to make her day. And somebody needs to borrow a carpet cleaner. So if some of you have one of those, you can see me afterwards about that. And I'm going to try to kind of get those words out so that we can help one another with things. Because man, you talk about washer and dryer. You get one on sale even. You probably have a $800,000 swing right there that just on a washer and dryer. Of course, I haven't bought one in a while, so I didn't buy the last one I had either. And I've managed to not know how to use it either. No, she's busted me out on that long ago. That's a joke. All right, if you have your Bible today, will you turn with me to John, the second chapter? John chapter 2. And I want you to know, I prepared two sermons for today. Not to preach two sermons, but I prepared two for today because I've just been in a quandary all week. I've been asking the Lord what He wanted me to preach today, and finally, early this morning, in fact, I got up middle of the night last night just praying about it. And early this morning, He said, "I'll tell you after the service gets started." here we go. It is Mother's Day. It is a day that we honor our mothers. We thank God for them. And I'm looking at some women today that are very highly unappreciated by the people in their lives. I'm looking at some of you, though, that are very much appreciated. And we wish we could spread it around. And today, I want you to be blessed today, because we do thank God for you. And all the stuff that's going on in our world right now, if you read the news, You could get caught up in a lot of things. And by the way, I hope you do read news outside of the major news outlets to get a wider view of what's really going on in the world today. But you know, even with all the things that are going on with our economy, world situation, thank God that we don't have to spend more money and more effort, and that one of the greatest mass murderers in the history of mankind is no longer a threat. I thank the Lord for that. But all the stuff that is out there, every day you get up and things still have to happen, don't they? Children have to be taken care of. Food has to be prepared. Laundry. Stuff gets dirty. Problems happen. Every single day we face it again and again. That everyday, workaday world that we all live in. I want to read a passage to you today it wouldn't be one that you would necessarily think about for a Mother's Day passage, but let me read it to you from John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Got the picture now? Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." And so they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom, and he said, "Every man serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I'm asking you today that you would speak to me and speak to us. Lord, I don't know why you carried me around the world with what I was preaching today, but I thank you that you've made it plain now, and I ask you now to unveil this passage and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you think that Jesus and his mother, Mary, had a close relationship? How would you describe it? Fantastic? How would you like to have raised a child that had never sinned? Well, I thought I'd hear a chorus of amens. Or, oh me. Oh my. And remember, but just wrap your mind around that. A child who had never done anything wrong. That's Jesus. Because the Scripture says He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Not yet without sin after he turned 30 and had his public ministry, but yet without sin his entire life. They had a very close relationship. They were invited to this wedding. Wait, and it's interesting that Jesus chooses in the sovereignty of his Father for his first sign, his first miracle to happen at a wedding. Interesting. The invitation to this wedding most probably came through his mother, as would have been the custom of that day. I believe this passage has a lot to say about moms. Let's see what it says. First of all, mothers are chosen by God to raise their children. You believe that? That a mom is chosen? That she is sovereignly chosen by God? Let me ask you, was Mary sovereignly chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus? He went to great pains. Great pains, the Lord did, to show us that, their special relationship. Remember the angel came to Mary to prepare for the child that would come? All the miraculous things that happened in and around, even before his birth, the miracles that happened, and then the miracle of his birth. You know, the immaculate reception. You knew he would be special. God was bringing this miracle to her. God chose her. I want you moms to think about your children for just a moment. Are they special? Were you chosen by God to be their mom? Think of that. God put you together. You know, there are many in our days, today's world, that would denigrate the sovereignty of God, that and would chalk things up to accidents. This is no accident. No accident that the child that you birthed there is a gift from God. We got to trust God that He knows all and sees all. He picked you out. Instead of fighting with this, we need to embrace it. And I know some of us, if we were to get in secret, there may have been a child that we said, God, why? Why even did you give me this child? And I'm sure that all mothers here have thought that at least one day about every one of your children. And in fact, you thought, I don't know who your mom and daddy are. I asked one of my boys one day if he had been abducted by aliens, and they had sucked his brain out and put him back in. He was about 13, it was Brandon, at the time, I said, because I don't know where you came from. And that thinking that you're doing, you know, let me do the thinking. You quit thinking. Let me do the thinking for both of us, because you're not doing a good job. Don't laugh, Logan, because I've said, told you the same thing. Now, see, you were yucking it up over there, enjoying all that. Just like that. Knife cuts both ways. Okay. I love you, son. All right, secondly, mothers spend time with their children. Every child is different. But in some ways, every child is the same in some respect. You know, we look at our children, every one of them is different. They're special. But before God. You know, married to a twin, or just twin sister, identical twin, they're vastly different from one another. Audrey loved me, her sister hated me at the beginning. Is that right? Okay. You know, some of us have pictured Jesus going straight from birth to, you know, we have the story of his the birth and all that's around that, straight to his public ministry. But what happened in those years? Well, we get a glimpse of him at 12. There he is with all the teachers of law, wowing them when supposedly he is lost from the caravan. They've headed back home and all that. He wasn't lost. But then what happened in all those in-between years? Here's Mary and Joseph pouring into him. All the things that God used them to teach Jesus. Imagine that. Think of it just for a moment. Wrap your mind around this. Teaching Jesus how to eat. Potty training Jesus. I mean, I say that to get your attention that he was all God, but he was all man at the same time. And then to get you to think about your own children. They are a gift that God has placed in your hands. What a blessing. God's given you the privilege of raising them. Third thing about moms we see in this passage is that mothers can be a doorway of opportunity for their children. You believe that? Crisis develops at the wedding. They're running out of wine. Could have been very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. You know, this is tantamount to running out of sweet tea at a church picnic. I mean, this is crisis level. We're up to DEFCON 5 here, you know. On the thing, whoa, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, they're running around. And what does Mary do? Can't you see her calmly? That you read the passage, there is not panic in her voice in any way. Because she knows who she's talking to. She knows him. She knows he's the anointed one. She knows that he is the Son of God. She knows his identity, knows him well. And she turns to Jesus. Asks Jesus about it. And what a model of prayer here that you have. She leaves it with him. And then what does she say to the servants that were there? Do whatever he says to do. Boom. It's there. Here, you know, you don't see her white-knuckled, holding on to the problem, all that stuff. Good side note, good passage on prayer. She gives it to him and lets him handle it. She becomes the doorway. This miracle comes through her by means of him. I mean, it speaks of their familiarity with one another. She knows her child. You see, you moms, you have that kind of influence and that kind of relationship. That's God's desire, that you have that kind of relationship with your children, that you know them. That you know them, you know. I'm 56 years old. My mom can still read my mind. You know, think about it. Think about that relationship and that doorway of opportunity that a mother is for their children. And by the way, I've gotten in the way of that doorway with a mom before. And one of the politicians talks about the mother grizzly thing and getting in between that mother bear and the cub. Any of y'all ever made that mistake of getting in between them? That's not a pleasant place to be, because I can guarantee you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. I've personally witnessed that, but in human beings, I got in between a dog and her pups one day, and I came away bloody after that. Got near a mockingbird nest one day, and that mockingbird mama was trying to do a number on my head. Fourth, mothers know their children. Mary doesn't hesitate when the problem arises. She turns to Jesus. I wonder, by this time, how many miraculous things she had seen Jesus do. I know there's all sorts of books out there, old books, a lot of apocryphal books, you know, ones that talk about Jesus growing up and all. And most of those, you know, are fantasy. Even though they're very old, they're very old fantasy. But I also like to imagine what that might have been like. Yeah, this is his first public miracle. How many others did he have? If he's all God and all man at the same time, what had she seen him do? She knew her child. Do whatever he tells you. I want to ask you today, do you really know your child? And this is a lifelong pursuit too, isn't it? Of knowing one another. Of being there. Do you know their gifts, their graces, their abilities, their heart? What makes them tick? Their soul. Number five. Mothers communicate with their children. You know, this passage is all about communication. Here they are at the wedding together. Problem develops. She calls Jesus, steps back, lets him handle it. There's much more being communicated here than the words would warrant in this passage. You know, can you imagine the looks that were taking place between Mary and Jesus? Do you moms have looks that you give your children? Looks that mean things? Your whole, the facial expression that can convey volume about what you're supposed to be doing and what you're not supposed to be doing. Across a crowded room, that look that can come. Or that look of affirmation. Little boy at the baseball game gets on base, you know, gets a good hit. And looks around. Whose look is he looking for? First and foremost, his mama and his daddy. They want to know that. Just a quick look. I mean, so how do you know how to communicate? Well, communication's messy, and it's not the same. You know, if y'all had this argument with God, it's like He changes the rules with different children. Why can't this child be like this child? I learned on this one, and it's like I've got to learn all over again with this one. And then the next one is different. Audrey and I thought we were experts after two. We had one of each. And then God surprises you again. You know, communication doesn't just happen by itself. It takes a great commitment and it takes time. I love what James Dobson said about this years ago. He said, people talk about quality as opposed to quantity. We're talking about time that parents spend with their children. And he said, you can't always guarantee quality. So you need to pile up the quantity to make sure in the midst of some of that quantity, you get some quality. Instead of trying to shave it real close and say, oh, this is going to be our quality time. You know, that's like coming into your children, you know, and saying, well, it's Saturday afternoon. It's time for our teachable moment. How'd that work out for you? Because the teachable moment happens in the moment, doesn't it? That's when the correction comes. That's when the affirmation comes. When you stop everything. And there it is. I'll never forget the day that Brandon, our oldest, when he received Christ into his life. We'd been talking with him, praying with him for years. You know, he's 7 years old, and we're moving. And we're on our way to Middle Georgia, and we've got Ahab, our chocolate Labrador retriever, is in a homemade wooden doghouse in the back of an old Nissan truck. And Brandon and I are in the front seat of that Nissan truck. And we put a board across the door so Ahab can't get out. And we're following the moving trucks. It's just Brandon and I. And somewhere around Gordon, Georgia, Brandon looks over at me and says, so, how about Jesus? Said, I think I'm ready to ask him into my life. It was his mother's birthday. It was February 26. That was a teachable moment. You don't know when it's going to come, do you? And this thing of communication, it's something that we just got to go out there and do it. Make the mistakes. You know, and it's messy, isn't it? But you got to do it. Lastly, mothers respect their children, don't they? Mary respected Jesus. She knew when to speak up and when to back away. Now, I know you said, well, that was Jesus. But here she is dealing with someone who is all God and all man at the same time. And she's navigating the water. Now, I realize that you're dealing with children that are all man at the same time, but whom God wants to come into their lives and fill them. She didn't rob him of decisions or attempt to manipulate him through this situation, did she? You see, that's something we've got to do with our children. We can't rob them of decisions that they need to make for themselves and then live out the consequences. Here's a reaction that a lot of parents have had in our culture today. While the children are at home, they're trying to make all the decisions for them. You know what happens when they get out? On their own? They've had no experience in making their own decision about anything. So where do you need to grow in that? While you're still under that cover, where you're given more freedom and you still have that Yeah, well, you can step in and say, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. No, we're not going to do that. But see, that's part of training up a child. What does the Scripture say? Train up a child in a way, in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you respect the children that God has given you? You see, the thing that's ticking is that they're growing up. The night before Brendan left, our first child left to go to college, I was up most of the night. I locked myself in the bathroom so I could cry and just, I was not, I thought Audrey was going to be the one that just went to pieces, and it wasn't Audrey. It was Dusty. And I wrote him, it took me 3 hours to write this letter to him. I know he read it, and I know it was probably good for him to read the letter, but it was real good for me to write that letter, to get it all out. Everything. God has given us these children. And at last, we've got to trust Him with them, don't we? Because we can't be there as they grow up and get out to make their decisions for them. That's where we trust God. Hear this one more time. Whatever He says, do it. What's He saying to you? What's He saying to you? Let's pray. I know that there's not a single family here that does not need prayer for their family. Am I correct in that? I want to know, is there anybody here that doesn't need prayer for your family? Okay, I was just checking. So I want us to pray for our families today. Pray a prayer of thanksgiving for our moms. And maybe come to the altar today and spend some time in intercession, in prayer. Maybe it's to pray for our children today. I want to ask you today, are your children making all the decisions you want them to make today? Every single one? Let's pray about that too. Lord, I want to thank You, Jesus, that You are Lord over all. That You died on the cross in our place. That You were buried and that You arose again on the third day. And You give us life. And Lord, as we read this passage, it was thumping with life. And the miraculous. And the power. That was there for You to come and act and move in a miraculous way. Water becoming wine. Lord, we want to pray that prayer today over our children, that miraculous things would happen in their lives. Lord, some of us today have children that have wandered away from You, and we pray for them today. Some of us, Lord, stand on the precipice today of giving our children more and more freedom. And we're asking you to show us how to do that. To raise them according to your word and according to what you want us to. And Lord, some of us with little children, Lord, we're just wanting to be that reflector of the image of Jesus. So as we pour into their minds and hearts those primary thoughts of love and care, and they can see that. And Lord, even when they're old and gray, they'll go back and remember what they saw. They saw the gospel in us. They saw the good news. They saw the love of Christ. I ask you, Lord, today to do that. Lord, as we open the altar now, we ask you to come and to hear our prayer. The altar's open. You may be seated. And Dane, if you'll get our fellows, it's our custom here to on Mother's Day, we want to bless every adult woman that is here. Those who have physically born children, those who have been a part of raising other children, because you know, I'm gonna pick on Teresa here, but she didn't bear Michael, but I know Michael today would thank God for her. Don't. I'm sorry I picked on you. You can get me back later on. Somehow I believe that. A great illustration, though, of that. We need one another. On the cross, Jesus looked at John. And what did he say? Behold thy mother. He looks at Mary. Behold thy son. And the scripture records that from that point on, John took Mary, the mother of Jesus, into his home and took care of her. You know, that says a lot about how much Jesus thought of his mom that she'd be taken care of. Today, We want to bless all of you ladies. So would all of you adult ladies please stand, please? Would all of you stand? All right. Let's give to them each a carnation. And if you want to hug them, you can do that too. Hey, Michael, give her another one. That one's kind of droopy. All right, we got everybody? Okay. Yes, take them over there. And the rest, the ones we always get extras because of this. Some of you asked, I've got somebody I want to go bless and give them a carnation. So we'll have them out in the vestibule out here. You can, Yeah, that's what that room's called. I know it will. Take one. I mean, don't be making up any bouquets, okay? But take one. All right, I want you to, all of you ladies, stand back up. And I want everybody here to, you know, someone near you, let's lay hands on them and pray for them, okay? All right? Got to make sure. We got everybody? All right? Okay, let's pray. Lord, now we pray your blessing on these ladies that we love so much. I thank you for them. I thank you, Lord, for what they mean to us, for what they mean in the kingdom of God. And Lord, for all the things that happen, that, Lord, the dust settles and there they are standing there with a smile on their face. And somehow stuff just happened and got done. And we pray your blessing on them this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There's a basket in the back. We'd like to get your cards if you have an offering to bring today.